The Biden administration says it's willing to ease up patent rules on COVID-19 vaccines to expand global supply. The goal is to narrow the massive vaccination gap between rich and poor countries. The decision, however, will depend on a unanimous agreement by all World Trade Organization members, including European nations, which haven't yet agreed to intellectual property rights waivers. The proposition raises many questions, though, among them whether developing countries have the infrastructure, manpower, and technology to produce vaccines. Drug makers also say this could discourage future drug research and development. Well, let's bring in Dr. Peter Hotez. He's with Texas Children's Hospital and Baylor College of Medicine. And Dr. Hotez, first of all, welcome back. And can you start off by telling us, is this decision by the Biden administration good news?
It's not bad news, and it could be helpful, but I think it's really important to point out that it's, you know, if I were to list the four or five top priorities in order to get vaccines into the arms of people across the world's low and middle income countries, this action is not at the top of my list. So I think it's it could be in the long term. I think it could be extremely important and helpful. In the immediate term, I think it'll be less impactful than some other measures, which we really have to give attention to.
Okay, well, let's break down some of your concerns. Let's tick through some of what we're hearing about this. Drug manufacturers are saying that it's not that simple to make mRNA vaccines. One Pfizer executive told the New York Times it requires 280 components from 86 suppliers in 19 countries. The implication is that it's just too complicated to hit the ground running. Your thoughts on this specific portion of this?
Well, I think he's right. It's not in the sense of not hitting the ground running, but I do think eventually it could make a difference. But here let me break it down. I think what he, my view, and I think we're somewhat aligned, although not completely. So the first point is a lot of this is coming from the precedent of antiretroviral drugs, where or any small molecule drugs, where if you know the structure of a compound, chances are you can find good organic chemists and chemical engineers to scale it up and produce it. And the one of the only barriers that's going to block it is the patent protection. And and this was, you know, the case, for instance, with the antiretroviral drugs. And Cipla back in 2001 was a pioneer in finding ways to produce antiretroviral triple combinations at far lower costs. And it was really life-saving, and that made a difference. But the problem is it doesn't entirely translate well to vaccines for several reasons. Vaccines are biologics. They're far more complex to produce. And the rate limiting step is not knowing the structure and having the patent released. It's the technical know-how, how to scale it up at the quantities needed, meaning billions of doses, and how to do this under a quality umbrella with quality control and quality assurance, how you do it to bring in all the supply chain management, how you do it under a regulatory umbrella where you have a good national regulatory authority in place. And that is a very complex undertaking, and one of the reasons why there are no vaccines currently made on the African continent, and South America underachieves, and one of the few low and middle income countries that really has figured this out is India, which is now trying to desperately make vaccines for its own country. And unfortunately, now there's a blockade on exporting it to Africa, which hopefully will lift soon. So that's the problem. What we need is the Biden administration to help find a way to actually pay for and produce vaccine for low and middle income countries. Go ahead.
And yes, and I want to be able to talk with you about that before we end with you. But I also want to ask you about the argument that suspending intellectual property rights could devastate pharmaceutical research, that so many promising treatments end up in failure, which squander billions in investment, and that these few successes help to make up for those losses. I mean, people like Mark Rosenblatt, former Tufts Medical School dean, now a Moderna advisor, says the research could actually dry up. So I'd like to know, in your opinion, your thoughts about this idea and also this solution that you're talking about just having more money available to actually get at the problem.
Yeah, I think as far as the drug industry is concerned, it depends on what the intellectual property is comprised of. Because if it's only for making COVID-19 vaccines, I think that'll be less of a threat to the pharma companies. Because remember, for companies like Moderna and Pfizer, ultimately the long return on investment is not going to be for making mRNA vaccines. It's going to be using that mRNA technology to produce cancer vaccines or vaccines for neurodegenerative disease. I mean, that's why they're in this technology, right, not to make COVID-19 vaccines. So I think,
and with the 30 seconds I have with you, the money, you're pushing for the president to actually invest more money.
Invest more money and resources in order to produce lots of vaccines. Remember, we've got 1 billion people in sub-Saharan Africa, 650 million people in Latin America, 500 million yeah. people in the smaller low-income countries of Asia. We need 5 to 6 billion doses of vaccine, and we need it now.
This is not the end of our conversation, Dr. Hotez. We'll be talking about this a lot more. Thank you so much, Dr. Peter Hotez, Director of Vaccine Development at Texas Children's Hospital.
Thanks.